Okay, we're on Look at the Moran, chapter 66. We're on Dalit. We just explained that a person could come to Emes, and by coming to Emes, it means you don't have any Pnias. Pnias means doing things to manipulate the people around you in order to get stuff out of them, because you think you are dependent upon them, but really, the true Emes is that it's only Hashem. Everyone's just a Shliach for Hashem. Now, does that mean that other people are a means to an end? No. Doesn't mean that. That's because a Jew was created as an end itself. Okay, because Bereshit, okay, as Rashi Kadosh explains, is Beit Reshit, the two beginnings. What are they? The Torah and the Jewish people. So you can't say that another Jew is just there for you, just for you to use. I mean, he has both aspects to him. He has a part that he's coming to tell you something, and he has a part that he is a piece of Hashem in itself, and that you can't just say that that's there for me. Every person has both those things, but the truth is that only Hashem exists, and that's the ultimate level of truth that a person gets when Mashiach comes. But we get there now by taking away your desire for kavod and money through other people, and knowing that it's really just Hashem. Okay, and we said, yeah.
So yesterday you gave an example of davening, and if you're davening and you're putting on a show, you know, if we're like.
Yeah.
You know, so that could.
That's a for shekel.
Thing, right? But at the same level, how about if you say, "Oh, I have better kavana davening at home"? Could that be the flip side of the same coin?
There's a halacha question. If you could daven at home versus davening in the shul, you have to learn within that what the getter is. But basically, let's say if you missed a minyan, there's only one minyan in town. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're a Talmud Chacham, you should stay home to pray. And if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you should go to Shul to pray.
Even without a minyan?
Yeah. Because if you're a Talmud Chacham and you miss the minyan, people are going to look at you and be like, oh, look at this guy. Praying late. Doesn't look good. So therefore, Shulchan Aruch says you have to care about what other people think. But if you're not a Talmud Chacham, then you should go to Shul to pray. That's what it says. There's a couple different halachas within that. I think even if you have a guest coming to your house Friday night and they're coming out of town and they're praying in your house and you cause them to wait for you, they're up and say to pray at home, so they're not going to wait for you so much.
Okay. Well, like the Chafetz Chaim says you should make Kiddush.
Yeah.
If you're having guests and like you're running late, whatever, you should make Kiddush before singing because you
don't want that. Yeah, it's such a thing. Yeah, exactly. So then when a person comes to Emes, then it says that all the Sitra Achra is falling away. When the Sitra Achra falls away, then he has Shlemus Adibor. He's able to bring words into, actualize the words properly. And then when he has Shlemus Adibor, as we explained, that when a person thinks something, then it goes a little bit into speech. And when he says something, it goes a little bit into the action. So therefore, speaking is the way to Potech et Yadecha, is to separate the potential from the actual and start actualizing. Speech is a way to actualize. So when a person has shlemus of speech, and then he can start actualizing things in the world, and therefore is able to draw down stuff from his ruach del ela, the spirit from above, and not through people, it's through Hashem. And then it goes through natural means to come to you most of the time, because it says that Hashem doesn't make a miracle for a person unless if he does, it's going to diminish his merits. So therefore, Hashem does it through nature, so it doesn't diminish your merits. It also that's. Yeah, I mean, it's like if God has to give someone parnasa, most likely it won't fall from the sky. It's possible, but it could diminish your merits, okay? Or you dig up your backyard and find a treasure chest. Probably not going to happen.
But so, what's the difference between it being from nature and what Moshe was doing?
What was Moshe doing?
I mean, Moshe like bringing the plagues. Did we say that was natural? I mean, the Malchum Malus game says that Hashem came himself.
You're saying for all the ten plagues in Egypt?
Like in
that general, could be a different situation, but look, if you've seen the Gemara and Shabbos, there's a certain thing that a person, him and his wife had a kid, and then the wife passed away, so then he had to like nurse the kid. So basically, there's two options: either Hashem does a miracle that he has a new source of income that he could hire someone to nurse the kid. Or, so Hashem didn't do that. What do you do? He made it that he was able to nurse the kid. Okay, now the Gemara explains is that there are other mammals within creation that the men are able to nurse the child. So therefore, it was less of a miracle for Hashem to give him milk to nurse the kid than to give him a new source of income miraculously. That's what it says. Yeah.
New source of income. Yeah.
To miraculously give him a new. Yeah.
I don't know of any male that can nurse.
It was one time that happened.
It's part.
One time, yeah. It was a one-time thing, but the point is that Hashem did it in the more natural way, because according to nature, there are other mammals within the animal kingdom that the males are able to nurse their kids.
Do we know? No, that'd be more of a miracle than just getting.
It sounds like it, but that's what the Gemara says. Yeah.
Can it be that we make a difference between open miracles and other open miracles?
Correct. I mean, all the miracles come within nature. That's the thing.
But a person, there'll be a person that really tests God. See, will you really stand up? You know, maybe they go into a room with a bunch of people with COVID-19, and you know, see if they get it, and Hashem will save them. But in a situation where there are people that just because of the things that they do and who they are, Hashem will give a lot of open miracles, and He's not taking away from them.
Yeah. So it says in Gemara and Brachos that it says why in the generation of the Tanaim, Hashem did open miracles, but in the later generations it didn't. And the difference was that in the early generations they had Mesiras Nefesh. Since they were completely given over to the Torah, then they had open miracles. And the Gemara brings a story, they had a famine in the land, and what do you do when you have a famine? They did fasts. When you fast, the law is you're not supposed to wear leather shoes because you're fasting. So it says, as one of the Tanaim took off his shoe, it started raining right away. It was an open miracle. Took off his shoe, about to start the fast, and boom, it started raining. So since they had mysterious nefesh, they had more open miracles.
We do, but it's not the same.
You know what the Gemara says? The mysterious nefesh, they're looking to see how they could give their lives for Kedush Hashem. And one of the stories is that he was attached to a tree and split his whole body in half. And that was his mysterious nefesh. Like, he literally gave his soul to God. That's like a crazy level.
It's more mysterious nefesh to give all your money than to give your life.
It's true. Because it says a person.
Also, his money more than
more,
his life.
It's true. That's what Bechol Me'odecha, yeah. All your money is even higher, yeah.
It's much higher.
It's big. Yeah, it's very high.
What about the story in Hanukkah? Like, yeah. I don't know what was referenced, but I heard that, okay, you know, the oil lasted, but I heard the real miracles was that we won the war.
Yeah.
So which one was the bigger miracle? That we won the war against the odds, or that the oil stayed to burn? In this case of what you're saying the open miracles were, it seems like there's two miracles.
Yeah.
So which one was the open miracle, and which one?
They're both open miracles.
I mean, maybe that source of oil was so potent that it lasts longer than regular oil, or I mean, what seems like a bigger
deal? You can explain stuff according to nature, but it's also open miracle.
You're saying it's coming through nature either way. Which one is?
No, sometimes it goes above nature. Sometimes it happens that things go beyond nature. Like when the Gemara says there's a couple that didn't have oil for Shabbos, they're so poor, and they put water, they put vinegar, and it burned all. With vinegar, yeah, and it burns.
Okay, that's going against nature.
Yeah, but beyond nature. There's no nature.
Because he was on such a high level. But that's, we don't want that. You're saying
I'm saying if God does something, it could diminish their merits. But sometimes he does it for other reasons. You don't know all the calculations why Hashem does stuff. I'm just saying it's general principles. Doesn't mean it's always like that.
When you're talking about the individual, when you're talking about the cloud.
It's a cloud, yeah. You can't say one goes.
It was a cloud, and the miracle of the oil verified the miracle of the war. But we weren't so concerned about it. We don't celebrate wars, big military victories, because it can come either way. It depends what you do after the war. But the miracle, it was a spiritual miracle, and that verified that all the other things were also miraculous. Mm.
So you're hiding all the miracles inside the oil.
That was the Iker. That was why the Chachamim waited the whole year, and they said if that spiritual energy that happened repeated the next year, then they decided to celebrate it.
If the oil burnt again.
No. That spiritual energy that happened through that miracle of the oil, that influx of it, light, whatever, happened again the following year. So then they realized that this was an open miracle. We have to celebrate it.
The oil.
Yeah, the oil.
Okay, so we're saying that when a person puts something into speech, and his speech is in a way of shlemos now, in a complete way, he's able to speak in a true way, then the speech is the beginning of actualizing something in the physical world. As we said before, in the Zohar, that when someone thinks something in his head, then it, at least part of it goes into speech, even if he doesn't realize it. And if someone speaks something, then it goes a little bit in action without even realizing it. So therefore, speaking is starting to create the action. Okay, now, one dalit.
The question. You go straight from thinking to action without going through speaking?
Well, speaking is a big klal, because we said the whole Torah started off when Elisha received double the ruach from Eliyahu. Now he's able to do great miracles through his tefillah, which is a speech. So there's a big thing just in that itself. That we're speaking is, in some ways, maybe can do more than the action in a certain way. Can't you need a? There has to be some action after, but
the speech is more universal. It creates a reality where the action is more specific.
It's more specific. Yeah, exactly.
One time,
exactly.
The pen is mightier than the sword. In a concept. That's why Hippodidu is so important.
Yeah, that's what it brings. That's it. Also, when you speak something, sometimes you don't know the final action, what's the best thing. But when you speak it, you're giving place for those kelim to build so they can come. Okay, so now it's when a person is mashlim the letters of his speech, as we explained. He has to bring the speech out in a complete way. Okay, sometimes the letters of speech get stuck in the meitzar of the garon, the narrowness of your throat. And you cannot bring the speech in completion. Shazeu b'chinat mashakarin b'lashon Ashkenaz hezerik.
Horse.
Yeah, we said this last time, yeah. But certainly, rot lotzia dibor mitzagaron. You must take it out from the narrowness of your throat. Shiuchal adaber b'shleimot, so you could start speaking in a complete way. The hainolam shich nekurot ela otiot. To mamshich the nekuros to the letters. Kibalon nekurot ifshal adaber shum ot. Without the letters, you cannot speak any ot. Any words. Kedu b'chush, meaning you can't say anything without the nekudos. V'ayazai, k'shem mamshichi nekudot aliyotot. So when you bring the nekudos to the letters, umotz ina dibur b'shleimos, and you bring the dibur in its complete form. Azai yichalim lotzi mikoch alapol, and you're able to bring from koch to pol. Ki kol ha-machshavot shesh l'adam, kulam ba'im b'toch ha-dibur. All the thoughts you have come into speech, as it says in Zohar, v'chushei marachashan, Sif Vate. What's that in English again?
His lips whisper.
His lips whisper. Even if you don't feel this, it's in a very refined way. All the thoughts you have in the world, they have to come in your speech at the time when you think them. But it's in a very refined way that you don't realize it. Therefore, all actions you must that you do first have to come in your speech. It has to go through the levels. Machshava, dibur, and maise. Machshava
to action.
So I think what it means when you do machshava, it does come in your speech a little bit already. And then you go to action. I mean, it's impossible to think something like...
There's also speech within Machshava.
Yeah, there's Machshava within speech, there's speech within Machshava, and there's all these different madrigals in between.
So you're two on one deal.
What?
Two on one deal, basically.
Yeah.
So when you think it, you're actually...
At a certain level, you're speaking it.
That's like speaking.
Yeah, at a certain madriga, in a very dakus way, you're speaking it.
Okay.
Nigmar, a maise, but a tzavak koch ha-pol. And then you can finish the maise, and you break from koch to pol. Before you bring from koch to pol, it has to first come into speech. We have to complete the letters of speech. And to bring the speech in a complete way. From the narrowness of your throat, which means to bring the kudas to the words. Therefore, when the speech comes into completion, then the thing comes from potential to actual. Okay, meaning you can't have letters without nekudos, and nekudos are the things that are stuck in your throat. So when you fix that, then you start speaking in a real way, and then as you're speaking, then it's starting to come into the reality already.
I'm trying to understand the analogy here where he's saying, okay, there's the letters and then there's the kudos.
Yeah, now we're
going to... You put them together, now you have them.
How do you put it together? We're going to say it now. How do you put them together?
No, but before putting them together, what does that look like in the physical manifestation between, what's the
nekuda? We're going to see now what it means. We're going to see now what the nekudas are. Lamshich nekudas ela otiot, to bring the nekudas to the letters, is through the cheshik and the kisufim. It means through the strong desire, okay, a will and a desire. Why? Shechoshchin lasot hamitzvah shar dvar shebekdusha. Sheisha Yisraeli choshech lasot. When a person desires a certain mitzvah or a certain thing kedusha, you have it in your strong will, as it says, nekudot hakasev. The nekudot of the kasev. Kasev literally means silver or money, but in this case, it's kisuf, which means desire. So the desire are the nekudos. Okay, so as explained, like we talked about last time, when a person does something that they has a strong will for it, then he's able to bring it out into reality much faster, okay? If you're trying to do something that you don't have a desire for, you can't really do it. If you're doing something that you have a strong desire for, it comes out more quick, okay? As explained in the Mamarim of, in the Parsha of Pinchas, where it talks about when they put the staffs in the middle, right? And they say, who's going to be the real Kohen? And then Aaron wins, okay? That's why? He gets an almond grow on his staff. Mm-hmm. Okay? He wins. Not the almond. Okay, what's the deal? So it says in the Gemara, in Brachas, that the almond is the fastest growing fruit of all fruits. It takes 21 days to grow. And so it explains that basically this concept of speed in the almond that's growing is related to mamshich things from Machshaba into Maiseh, the fastest way. And it's related to pleasure, and it's related to Birkat Kohanim. Because the Birkat Kohanim is bringing down a fast Hamshacha. And the concept is that we're saying, if a person's trying to bring something from his thought into action, and he doesn't have such a strong desire, or he doesn't have a strong passion about what he's trying to do, then there's a million different levels within his thought, or through his speech or action, that gets stopped up. He's not going to bring it into reality. But if he's doing something that he has a strong desire for, then it's going to come out really fast. Like the concept of bracha lekonim, it comes out really fast. It's like all the almond, fastest growing almond.
You're talking about when it's already a tree, it's
21 days, yeah. When it's a tree and then it starts, the beginning when it starts blossom, to grow, yeah.
It blossoms to the fruit.
But I'm saying, you're not talking about actually when you're actually...
Planting a tree is a different thing, yeah. Thing when the tree's already there.
From seasons, it's the... So how does it work?
Meaning what?
21 days from the flower, so you actually have a ripe fruit.
Wow, 21 days.
You can see it.
Yeah, okay. Through your desires and your strong will, you create the nekudot. The only way to do something is through desire. When someone speaks a certain speech, you have to have a desire to speak that thing. When a person does a certain action, if you don't have a desire to do it from the beginning, for sure you're not able to do it. Therefore, everything in Kedusha that a person has to do, for example, to travel to the tzaddik, or shard varsha b'kedusha, shadam tzirich lasot, or other things you have to do in Kedusha, notnim lo mitchila cheshek, they give you to begin with a desire, kadesh al yedei zeh yaseh davar, that through this desire you're going to be able to do the thing. Okay, and now we're going to base the next paragraph, we actually have to pause there at 22:30, is that the way that Hashem creates a cheshek in you is by creating a maniyah. Maniyah is a difficulty, obstacle. Right. So the things they have the most maniyahs for is in order to build a cheshek, so you're going to break past it, okay? We'll continue that next time. Wow.